Open your Bibles with me in Matthew 26. If you'd like a Bible in your hand, there are Bibles in the stacks at the back. Please just nip out of your seat now, grab one, borrow one. Feel free to have a Bible in your hand, and that's great. Matthew 26. We're working our way through the book of Matthew in verse 69 of Matthew 26. Now, Peter, Jesus has been arrested, and Peter's followed him into the court, into the courtyard where Jesus is being held. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people, "There, this fellow was with the Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath. "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you're one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a cock crowed, and then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Now we come to another man in torment. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. And when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It's against the law to put this into the treasury since it's blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. I was named after the Apostle Peter. I've never come across anybody named after Judas Iscariot. Never. Plenty of people called Peter. Few people called Jude after Judas the other disciple, but no one called Judas Iscariot. But what Peter and Judas Iscariot, they are so similar in many ways. As I was meditating on this and thinking it through, they just seemed in many ways so alike. Both of them were chosen by Jesus personally. Both followed for 3 years. Jesus called them both my friend, my friend. And both went wrong at the end. One handed him over to the authorities, the other denied him in public. Both were sorry afterwards. Yet one is honoured, remembered, loved and respected, and the other is criticised, judged and despised. They just went the same way. And then it all fell apart at the end. And their differences, their ends were different. You've never heard a positive sermon about Judas Iscariot. And don't think you're going to hear one tonight. No one wants to exonerate the most famous villain in history. Personally, I'd rather defend Vlad the Impaler than Judas. So let's take a look at Judas Iscariot then, firstly, and then we look at Peter. History is littered with errors of judgment. The captain of the Titanic giving his command, "Full speed ahead, I'm going to bed." Wrong. An American Civil War general whose troops were under long-range fire, cheering them up with the words, "Don't worry, men, they couldn't hit an elephant at this There was a certain weatherman and a hurricane. You know, errors of judgment. People get it wrong. But surely no one quite like Judas Iscariot. Tom Houston, the writer, was preaching the open air in Edinburgh, and he was assailed by a heckler. I've preached in the open air, and you're taking your life in your hands, trust me. And the heckler said, "What about Judas Iscariot?" So Tom Houston said, "Well, what about him?" Well, the guy said, "Judas was a hero. He fulfilled his destiny." I told you, when you're preaching in the open air, you don't know what's going to be thrown at you. Judas was driven by delusive ideas. Why did he betray Jesus? Do you know any? Why do you think Jesus was handed over to the authorities by Judas? Why did Judas do it? You've heard sermons. I've preached sermons on it. What, you tell me, why do you think Judas handed Jesus over to the authorities?
He had his own agenda.
Had his own agenda. Why do you think? Perhaps trying to force Jesus' hand to be more revolutionary. Other suggestions? Maybe to please the authorities. Does the student body of Bangor University have any suggestions? I hope you're more... Yeah, go. Maybe for the money. I don't know. Judas liked money. John 12, verse 6... tells us that Judas didn't care about the poor because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. One for the poor, one for me. One for the poor, one for me. Maybe Jason's right. It was 30 silver coins, but we don't know which silver coin, by the way. There were two. If it was a denarius, 30 denarii, I tried to translate that into modern minimum wage based on the fact that the denarius was a minimum wage for a day. It comes out about £1,500 in current money in the UK. If it were 30 shekels, that would be £6,000 in modern money. But we don't know which one it was. And yes, you know, you can get seduced by money, can't you? Francis Xavier, the great preacher, said that men confessed to him all kinds of sins, some of which he'd never even thought of. But he had never come across anyone who confessed to him the sin of greed. You don't know you've got it. And then there was this confrontation about Mary in John 12, verse 4. Mary broke open... A jar of perfume over Jesus' head and anointed him, washed his feet. And it was a huge sum of money that she saved up to buy. Maybe it was a present for this perfume. One of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, said, "Why wasn't the perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." And Jesus put him down. She said, "No, she's anointed me for my burial. She's done a beautiful thing. Don't take it away from her." Maybe, you know. There are some people in this world, I'll tell you now, some people who are all over you. And they're full of praise and love and affection for you until you disagree with them or deny them something they want. And then they turn against you. It happens. I remember one guy. We had a service. Susan and I was in a small church in Brazil. And we had a big, thick hymn book. And I said, "If anyone likes to choose a hymn." And this guy chose him. Of all the hymns in the hymn book, it was the only hymn whose theology I couldn't agree with. It was a premillennial theology. How it ever got in the hymn book, I don't know. But I couldn't sing it. And it kind of went against what I preached. So I said, "Oh, my brother, I'm sorry. If you don't mind, that's the only hymn in the hymn book I struggle with because of its theology. Would you be offended, please, if I ask you to choose another?" I was perfectly polite. But he was furious, and he left the church, and later my poor church secretary found himself sitting next to him on the bus saying, "Your church doesn't have a minister, it has a demon," and blah, 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 because he didn't get his way once. And people like that. Maybe Judas was like that. Didn't get his way, turned against Jesus. Perhaps that was it. Maybe he didn't, as a couple of you said, maybe he just didn't agree with the way it went. He had a grander vision of the kingdom than Jesus. Wanted to take it to a new level. I don't know. We don't know why he did it. It's one of those mysteries. But whatever it was, he handed Jesus over to the authorities. And then he was driven by an unremitting remorse. An unremitting remorse. He returns the money, admitting his error publicly, but there's no reconciliation with Jesus. Jesus is not far away, dying on a cross and then rising from the dead, but there is no reconciliation between Judas and Jesus. He handed him over. The Bible, the Greek incidentally doesn't say he betrayed Jesus. It says, just says he handed him over to the authorities. But we don't get a mention again of Judas. We just know he goes away to a lonely, tragic death. F.W. Krumacher was one of the great old German preachers. He says, Judas perishes horribly. Why? Is it because his sins exceeded the measure of divine forgiveness? Is it because he was a thief and a cheat? But such was the thief on the cross in a much higher degree. Yet he found his way to paradise. So the thief on the cross found his way to paradise. So what about Judas? Was it because he betrayed the Holy One of Israel? But thousands did the same and yet ended up being saved. Was it because he laid hands on himself? I tell you that even if he had not done this, but had lived for years together and spent them in serious attempts at amendment, he would still have perished for this one single reason. He was not under Jesus' blood. Thus, the perdition of Judas must serve like no other event to show in striking colours how impossible it is to do without Jesus. At the end of the day, that's it. Judas simply never put himself back under Jesus' authority. Never saved by the blood of Jesus. And he wandered into a dark eternity. In the 1960s, a TV producer did a film about finding a face for Judas. And he was looking at all kind of different faces to imagine what kind of face Jesus would have. And the film ended with him looking in the mirror at his own reflection and saying, "You'll do." Before we judge Judas too harshly, let's take a look at Peter. Why did Peter deny Jesus?
Fear.
Fear. Yeah. Why did Peter? Any other suggestions? Can we have that verse a bit later, please, Sir Rushing? Thanks. Any other reason why Peter denied Jesus? Fear. Shame, perhaps. That's it. His friend was there. Maybe didn't want shame that Jesus being there. Yeah. He's driven by a deluded sense of self throughout part of the gospel, isn't he? He thought he was the great fearless leading apostle. He thought he was the number one man. He thought he was Jesus' right-hand man. He was the guy who would defend Jesus come what may, because he was tough. And he was a hard man. And in the end, he denies Jesus to a servant girl, a young slip of a thing. Forces him to deny Jesus. Isn't that incredible? There are loads of people in the Bible who are like that. Joseph, in the tale of Joseph and the coat of many colours, had the wrong view of himself. He kind of saw himself above his brothers. It ended up that way, but not in the way he'd imagined. Moses really thought that he was the redeemer, the saviour of his people. It kind of turned out that way, but not like he imagined, not by his own strength. He had to learn he was nothing beforehand. The Apostle Paul thought he was one of the leading lights, the up-and-coming young men in a Jewish religion. And then he realised he'd got it all wrong. All those guys realised they'd had a wrong view of themselves. And so did Peter. Again, I went back to Krumacher to see what he said about Peter. He says, two ways are open to Peter, either to reveal his disgraceful denials by candid acknowledgement, or else to act his lamentable part completely through, in which case he must carry his barefaced falsehoods to the utmost. In a state bordering on desperation, he decides upon the latter. In the confusion of the moment, he is quite the old fisherman, the rough sailor again. Nay, even much worse than he had ever been before. He heaps oath upon oath and curse upon curse to confirm his assertion that he knew not the man. Peter could have backed down after the first denial, but he didn't. He took what he thought the easier path, and he went through with it. There can be a difference between what we are in front of other Christians and what we are in our workplace or among non-Christian friends. See, among the Christians, among the followers of Jesus, Peter was the solid guy. Peter was the rock. Peter was rocky. Yeah? Peter was the tough man. He was the one who knew what to do. He was always the first to speak and the last to doubt, he thought. Before the other Christians, here's one thing. Put him back in a hostile environment and he changes straight away. Just changes. So a Christian leader was invited his workmates to church, and the workmate came to church, sat watching throughout the whole of the morning and the after the servicings, and he turned to his Christian workmate, he said, "I can see you're a different person here." It's not good, is it? Remember as a young boy being told a story in a boys' brigade camp about a young lad who idolized one of the young boys' brigade leaders, one of the young lads in the boys' brigade platoon. And he loved the boy, idolized him, just thought he was the perfect role model. Then he went to a football match, and this lad was standing behind with his friends. And the foul language and the abuse at the referee and everything coming out of the mouth of this lad completely shattered the delusions of that young, naive young guy. You know, put you down in a different culture and you end up different. You end up believing what people tell you. And then you realize that you've been sold a lie. The culture that you've fitted in with is entirely wrong. A bit like Matt was saying earlier on. You go through life doing something, thinking this is how you should live, and then something happens and you say, wait a minute, that's not how I should be living. I was sold a lie, and I went along with it. And Peter, while Judas is riven by an unremitting remorse, Peter ends up riven by a soul-saving repentance. Tom Houston says, if we have never wept before God, it is because our thinking is too shallow or non-existent. One of the great old preachers said he never went into the pulpit until he spends time walking up and down the sins of his years in his mind. And when he'd remembered the things that he'd done in the past that he was ashamed of, then he would climb and preach about Jesus, but not before. And that's good advice. I spent this afternoon doing it, and it wasn't comfortable. Realizing just how often in my life I have gone along with, I've gone with the flow. And it's been an unhealthy and godly flow and led me where I shouldn't have gone and to do things I would never have done, even dreamt I would have done, but I did. Now we'd have that verse on the screen, shall we? In the end, Peter writes as an old man, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He, above all, should know. So we have the two guys, Judas and Peter. They go together, they walk together, and then they fail together. But one survives and goes on to glory. The other doesn't, and goes on to tragedy. They're both deluded. They both fall spectacularly. But Peter finds forgiveness and glory. Judas doesn't. Why not? It was their choice. Ultimately, it wasn't destiny. It was choice. Peter chose chose to come back and be faithful to Jesus and went on to be the great leader he became. In fact, perhaps he became the great leader because of what he went through. It was his choice. And it's our choice to go with the flow or to come back to Jesus and commit our lives to him and follow him. All of us have gone astray at some point. All of us have got baggage. All of us have got things that we're not happy of having done. The question is, what do we do? Do we bring them to Jesus? Or do we try and handle it ourselves? Big mistake. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? If the band please would join me on the platform. So Father, we come back to Jesus, we come back to the Lord, we come back to him, the one and only. Lord, we've all messed up, we've all got baggage, we've all done things that we shouldn't have. We've all been in company that doesn't know you and followed their ways. And now, Lord, we look back and say, why did I do that? So forgive us, Lord. We come to you for forgiveness this evening and release. We believe that Jesus died. We are under the blood of Jesus. And by that blood of Jesus, we're forgiven and cleansed. Give us that liberating grace to be set free tonight to follow Jesus and move on from failure to glory in his name. Amen.